We now bring to these microphones David James. We're going to be talking about an issue that is as timely as could be possible. We're talking about the resurrection. We'll do that in just a moment with David James. Let me remind you, at my website, you can go there and you can go to the right-hand column of the website. Scroll down, you'll see David James Reports. We have a number of reports that we have recorded, put up there for archive purposes. You'll be able to select one you would like to listen to if there's an issue of interest to you. Plus, David has put in some written material up there as well. Although, David, we've discussed a lot of topics on David James Reports, none would be, I think, more important than today's topic, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead 3 days after his crucifixion.
You're absolutely right, Jimmy. The whole world takes note of this, even those who are unbelievers, because it's really impossible to miss that the world is focused on Christ and the resurrection. It's on news channels, it's on television shows, and it well should be, because it's really the crucial point in all of history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Wouldn't it be accurate to say that if there is a single truth or fact upon which Christianity hinges, then the resurrection would be that truth?
I would say that's absolutely true. You know, there are some who might say that if Christianity would fall upon a single, for example, a single instance where, for example, Jesus' bones were found and they could somehow determine that, how strong is Christianity if it would fall just upon that? Well, the fact is, it does hinge upon that, because it hinges upon who Jesus was, that is, he is the Son of God, God in the flesh, that he prophesied that he would be raised from the dead, and that he provides the sure hope of eternal life to all who believe, and he is the first fruits of the resurrection. And so everything, past, present, and future, hinges upon the fact that Jesus did come alive after his crucifixion, and he continues to be alive today. He's alive forevermore.
Well, on Friday, most Christians around the world observe what is traditionally considered the day of Jesus' crucifixion. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40 that he would be in the grave for 3 days and three nights?
Yes, that's right. The world does consider and has considered Friday as a day of crucifixion, but I think you and I both agree that it would have been on Thursday, biblically, prophetically, that would have had to have been the day. He would have been taken down from the cross and buried on Thursday before sunset, and then he would have been in the grave Friday and Saturday, and then the three nights corresponding to that with him arising from the dead on the first day of the week, which would be Sunday. And we also understand that there were two holy days that week, and so this would definitely allow for the Thursday crucifixion.
Well, there are a lot of skeptics out there, David, who say Jesus did not raise from the dead, but isn't Jesus' resurrection one of the most well-attested events in all of ancient history?
Well, that's true. There were the Bible has eyewitness accounts, multiple eyewitness accounts, and also the account of Paul, who refers to what would have been eyewitness accounts. So just that alone makes it well attested. And there are other sources outside the Bible which do give reference to these things, maybe not as specifically of the Bible as the Bible, but people accept without question things that have far less documentation historically, especially from 2,000 years ago. It's not like everybody was writing everything down or there were 24-hour news cycles. So the fact that we have this much evidence for something like this is really significant.
Well, what about the argument that some biblical accounts of the resurrection don't count because the Gospels were written more than 30 years after the fact? They were written by followers of Jesus Christ, of course, who were obviously biased, so they say.
You have to kind of take that apart just a little bit. First of all, people had the eyewitnesses to give the story firsthand verbally. Again, writing things down like this wasn't something that was done all the time. And then also, it took some time to determine the significance of this. And as you have some of the eyewitnesses approaching the ends of their life, then they would begin to write things down to make sure that they were preserved for posterity. And the fact is, believers in Christ would have a highest priority of recording the truth, because truth is a central theme of Scripture, and so it would be a reliable source, not an unreliable source, because of the very nature of the Scriptures themselves and the ministry of the apostles and the eyewitnesses to convey truth. So to say it's a biased source is really a fallacy.
Well, and to add to that, let me hear what your comment is. Each and every one of those who wrote the accounts of the crucifixion and then the resurrection of Christ actually went to their own death without ever denying that. You don't die the dastardly way that some of those writers of the Bible would have died, and then not deny some lie that you're trying to perpetrate.
Well, that's absolutely right. So in addition to the historical reasons, there are strong logical reasons, and that's one of them. You had all of the apostles except John would have died as martyrs for what they believed, and if they knew it weren't true, why would they, and then countless others, thousands of other Christians, go to their deaths for something and refuse to renounce something that they knew to be a lie? The other logical argument is, if there were those who their enemies would have wanted to counteract those arguments, and if it had been stolen by the enemies of the cross, enemies of Jesus, then all they had to do was produce the body. And so that would have completely squashed everything that the apostles and the other believers were teaching and preaching. So it doesn't make any logical sense whatsoever.
Well, talk to me from a theological perspective, David, and a biblical perspective as well. In general, was Jesus' resurrection absolutely necessary?
It definitely was necessary. If he had simply died for our sins, there would be no hope of eternal life. So it doesn't really do any good to have your sins paid for if you're going to die and be lost forever anyway. It's the resurrection that gives the guarantee and the sure hope of eternal life. Like I mentioned earlier, Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrection. Also, the Old Testament hinges, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy hinges upon the resurrection, because the Old Testament is filled with prophecies concerning the day of the Lord, the first part being judgment, the second part being restoration and blessing, which involves the establishment of the kingdom. You can't have a dead king establish a kingdom. So really the whole Old Testament points to the fact that the Messiah, who is predicted to die in Isaiah 53, has to come back from the dead, or none of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the kingdom can be fulfilled.
Well, we both need to agree. The fact is that someone must believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ in order to be a born-again Christian.
That's absolutely true. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he also says that we must believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. That is a part of the gospel. Now, a few years ago, we talked about a theologian, an Anglican theologian named N.T. Wright, who has a lot of influence in some evangelical circles. Even though he wrote a book on the resurrection, and he firmly believes in the resurrection, he would say that he has some friends who he believes are Christians who don't believe in a physical bodily resurrection of Christ. I just don't see that as being biblical at all, and even that concept is foreign to Scripture. If you don't believe that Jesus arose from the dead, then again, you have all kinds of historical problems, you have theological problems, biblical problems, and a dead Savior can't save anyone.
Yes, absolutely correct. We both worked, David and I both worked for Word of Life for a number of years, and the founder and director, Jack Wirtson, and I were doing a radio broadcast one day, and I actually said to Jack, I said, Jack, you know, you're not that good a preacher. Well, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful, but I wanted to know what it was that God had given him. I said, what do you attribute the success that the Lord has given you? He said, because I always present the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we'd have to consider then the resurrection to be an essential part of the gospel that must always be communicated, whether from the pulpit or personally when witnessing to someone.
You know, you talk about pounding the pulpit. This is something that I personally pound the pulpit on whenever I talk about presenting the gospel, because I can't tell you how many supposed gospel presentations I've heard from the pulpit, and I know in personal situations as well where people fail or forget to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They forget to include it. I've heard people who would consider themselves as having the gift of evangelism present in public meetings the gospel without mentioning the resurrection. That is not a full gospel presentation until the resurrection is mentioned, because, again, it's because of Jesus' death that we have the sure hope of forgiven sin when we believe. It's because of his resurrection that we have the sure hope of eternal life when we believe. It's a package: forgiven sin, eternal life to all who believe.
Yes, amen. And I always include the fact that indeed, he resurrected from the dead to prove he was the one qualified to give us eternal life. Well, one final thought, David. The issues surrounding the resurrection are as important concerning the end times as they've been for the last 2,000 years of church history, are they not?
You're absolutely right, and as we alluded to before, it's because of the resurrection and because he is alive that we also know that he is coming back, and that is a fulfillment of prophecy both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So as much as history hinges upon Jesus' resurrection in the past, his second coming and all of Scripture points to the fact that the future hinges upon his return. And so there couldn't be a more important prophetic issue than the resurrection as well.
And that's what God's Word has to say. Again, we go to the bottom line. God's Word is what counts when we discuss issues right here on David James Reports. David, thank you so much. Have a great Resurrection Sunday, and we'll talk again next week with another issue.
He is risen indeed.